Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know
with sports' biggest and best names. Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And as promised, it is time to hoop it up. We are going to talk some Mavs basketball as they look to finish strong. They've got 7 games left and counting in the regular season. And Dallas certainly had a wonderful outing on Tuesday night at home against Sacramento. In fact, 6 players scored in double digits. They had 54 bench points. And you certainly hope that kind of production is going to carry over in a tough stretch of road games. We are so pleased to introduce and always welcome back the executive NBA editor with Hoops World, Mr. Bill Ingram. How are you, Bill?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm always in a good mood when we're talking about Dallas Mavericks basketball. And I know that with Hoops World, you guys provide comprehensive coverage on all the teams within the NBA. But we've got a strong listener base. I mean, a lot of folks love hearing about the Dallas Mavericks. I want you to talk about the importance of this stretch of road games, and it really can define their season.
Well, it really can. I don't know the last time a defending champion didn't make the playoffs, but that's really what's on the line here. The Mavs are in a 3-way tie with the Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets, and they're looking at trying to avoid missing the playoffs, which would be embarrassing above everything else. But what they're going to have to do, you're going to have to go to Golden State, Portland, the Lakers, and Utah. Very tough road trip. The Jazz are very much in the playoff picture, and, I mean, they took out the Rockets in a game that they desperately needed. So you're going to have to win the majority of these games. The Lakers, obviously, very motivated, just took out the Spurs, even with Kobe on the sideline.
Andrew Bynum with 30 rebounds. I mean, are you kidding me? How do you not get a body on him and block him out? I mean, what's going on?
With the Spurs, you question how much they really want to win at this point, because last year they were the best team in the West throughout the season and got hurt right before the playoffs and then lost in the first round. So you know Greg Popovich is managing those minutes, and he's sitting stars and playing everybody 25 minutes and less. So how much was he trying to win a game against the Lakers? I'm not sure he was. But the Mavs don't have that luxury. I mean, the Spurs, to their credit, as they always do, they pace themselves through the regular season so that they're ready for the playoffs to start. And the way Greg Popovich wants it, hey, if it's the fourth seed or the second seed, it doesn't matter. Home court's nice, but he's not going to sacrifice the health of anyone on the team for 1 or 2 playoff spots. As long as they're in the playoffs, that's all that matters to them. But the Mavs don't have the luxury of that. They have to win every game going through here because they've struggled with so many on-the-court and off-the-court issues that they're desperately clinging to playoff position.
Well, Bill, and that is the good news because they have dealt now with those issues. They've pulled out the sliver. There is no more Lamar Odom. And I love what, you know, the players talk about. Hey, our focus is not on Lamar anymore. Let's turn the page. Our focus is on making the playoffs, taking it one game at a time. And I feel much more confident knowing, you know, when Jason Kidd, his return, his value, I just thought they looked great the other night. And what an impressive stat line that he provided.
Well, the thing, you know, when you're playing Sacramento, and not to say that Isaiah Thomas and Jimmer Fredette are not very nice young players, but they're not in the league with Jason Kidd, so you're not tearing up top tier talent on the other side of the arena. So, but still, it's nice to see. He had a real spring in his step. He looked very excited to be back in the lineup, and an energized Jason Kidd is certainly absolutely imperative if the Mavs are going to finish strong here.
Well, and I thought Rick Carlisle did a great job of managing his minutes. I mean, my goodness, he only played 22 minutes, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 block shots. You just said a spring in his step, but, you know, for a guy that's gone through a groin issue, if you've ever experienced something like that, man, that takes you a while sometimes to get back into rhythm, and he just stepped right into place.
It does. I mean, same thing Derrick Rose has been fighting. He missed 14 games, I think it was.
You bet.
Groin injury. So I have had that, and try to play basketball with that is not fun. I mean, you basically just can't.
Absolutely. Hey, you were listening to the voice of Bill Ingram. He is the executive NBA editor with Hoops World. And we do want to pause, direct all of our listeners where they can find out some great information at your website and, of course, on Twitter.
Absolutely. Well, hoopsworld.com, and my Twitter is the Rocket Guy. I started covering the Houston Rockets, and when I started Twitter, I didn't really know what it was, so I sort of just gave it a generic, that sort of was my general name. So I do cover the whole NBA, but I started as a Rockets fan growing up, and that's still the reason I do what I do, is because of that foundation of Hakeem Olajuwon and the glory days with the Rockets.
It certainly was an exciting run when you think back to that. Okay, let's talk about one of the Mavs fan favorites, and that, of course, is Brandon Wright, because he has really flipped the switch, dialed up his game, and has just fit in beautifully when he is out there on the floor. I mean, yes, he's a high riser, but there are so many other wonderful things that he is doing to contribute and to really energize his team.
Well, that's important, because you have a very veteran team. You know, Dirk is not a spry, you know, guy who gets off the floor, never has been. Jason Kidd doesn't get above the rim ever. And you don't have exciting shot blocking. Brendan Haywood will block a shot now and then, but he's not exactly flying through the air either. So Brendan Haywood and Yan Mahimi both bring some energy and some passion. They're both excited to be on the floor. Both understand that every moment is so critical if they want to play again, or how many minutes they're going to play. Carlisle's great at motivating. I think Brandon's been a great addition this season, in a place where you lost Tyson Chandler, you lost Deshaun Stevenson, you lost Corey Brewer, some of the guys that were bringing that energy last year. And they need some of the guys that they signed to bring it in, and he's been bringing it.
Well, you never know when your number's going to get called, and who would have thought that Yee would have just stepped up and played such meaningful minutes? And I love what Coach Carlisle said. You know, he's the great example of, you know, being professional, being ready, because you don't know when your number's going to get called. And the fact that he hit all four shots, you know, right when he stepped in there, that was huge.
Yeah, that was a tight spot in the game. You know, the Kings are in a lot of games early, and they've won some games, so they've surprised some
sure.
playoff teams lately. That team is, you know, maybe a player or even just a season of experience away from being a playoff team themselves. So you look at their record and think, oh, it's just the Kings. But look at how they've played lately. But still, you needed to put them in their place early. And even as it was, the game was still tight right down to the end. So they needed everybody that they put in to do something productive. And the way that he stepped in and hit four shots, that was very key to that early part of that game.
Well, one of the things about the Dallas Mavericks that we continue to see some continuity with now, which is good, is the fact that they're out-rebounding their opponents. I mean, yeah, it was Sacramento, but they out-rebounded them by 16. But also, two times this year, they've out-rebounded Memphis. And they're one of the better rebounding teams in the NBA.
Well, I give a lot of credit to Sean Marion, because that guy...
You got it, yep.
Dirk is the star of the team, and Jason Terry is the heart of the team. But Sean Marion has just been phenomenal, both last year and this year. A lot of people thought he was kind of done. But Rick Carlisle, I don't know if you're aware of this, Rick Carlisle changed his game. He sat down with Sean before last season and said, look, if you'll go down into the paint, if you'll play more around the rim, this is what we think your game will look like and your stats will be. And Sean was a little bit dubious at first. He's always been kind of the wing guy and shooting threes and that sort of thing. But that part of his game has deteriorated, so he tried it. And he's been phenomenally successful. I think he had 14 rebounds the other night.
Yes, 14 rebounds, and it was his second consecutive double-double, the 10th of the season. So, man, when he comes out there, he is just, I love just how he's pursuing the ball and very aggressive in attacking the glass. But we are quickly running out of time. Kind of tell us how things are shaping up in this mysterious Western Conference. It's just so crazy. I mean, Oklahoma City loses the other night. And then, of course, as you had just highlighted and talked about, the fact that the Spurs lost to the Lakers, you know, in San Antonio. How do you think things are going to shape up over the next 10 days?
Well, I think we know a couple of things. First of all, Oklahoma City and the Spurs are pretty much, they're going to be 1-2. The Lakers are in the third seed, 5.5 games back, and that's a lot of ground to make up with so few games remaining. So I would guess Oklahoma City's going to win it, because I think Popovich is going to rest guys more than try to win that top seed. Beyond that, you know, the Lakers are in third, but the Clippers are 1.5 back. Memphis a half game behind them. That's so tight every night. A win here and a loss here can totally change the middle part of the standings. And then the bottom, as we talked about, Dallas, Denver, and Houston locked at 32 and 26, all fighting for 6th, 7th, 8th seed. But then you've got the Utah Jazz right behind them, Phoenix 2 games behind. So, you know, if Dallas were to lose 2 or 3 games on this home stretch, they could find themselves out of the playoff picture if Utah were to win a couple of games during that same time. And we don't know. Houston has beaten some impressive teams while they've had big injuries to deal with. And Denver has been decimated by injuries. They're starting to get healthy. Gallinari's back. They've won a couple of pretty nice games, blowing out some bad teams here the last couple nights. But it's tight. I mean, there are no – you can't take a possession off. You can't take a quarter off. You certainly can't take a game off. Because if you're in the Mavericks' position or in the West, really below the second seed, one loss can mean you drop a spot, maybe two spots, might mean you're out of the playoff picture.
Let's talk about the best-case scenario, a positive hypothetical. I mean, say they win at least three out of the next four. I mean, who could they play in that opening round?
Well, you're probably looking, you know, as much as we don't want to hear this, we're probably talking about the Lakers. Because the Lakers have a decent hold on the third seed, and winning the game against the Spurs was huge. And the Clippers have tripped up a little bit here lately. Memphis has been very good, but I don't think they get high enough. So if the Mavs hold on to the sixth seed, you're probably looking at the Lakers. And I personally, for the Mavericks, don't want to see that. Because last year, the Mavericks embarrassed the Lakers in the postseason. That the team was so beaten, they lost their composure in the fourth game. Bynum and Odom with the, you know, the technical inspiring play that Bynum got suspended and all that. And Kobe is still the ultimate assassin in the NBA. And if you think he doesn't remember losing and how they lost last year, you're mistaken. He wants another ring, and he's the kind of guy that can pick his entire team up and carry them. I don't want to see the Lakers in the first round. I don't want to see Kobe. I want no part of that. So it'd almost be better for the Mavs to take on, you know, San Antonio or even the Thunder in the first round than to catch the Lakers with a real chip on their shoulders.
Bill Ingram has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. One more time, Bill, tell all of our listeners where they can go and find out more information on Hoops World.
Well, absolutely, hoopsworld.com. We cover all 30 teams. We try to do it equally because we know that, hey, Minnesota Timberwolves fans are just as passionate as Los Angeles Lakers fans and Miami Heat fans. So we cater to everybody. We cater to the Mavericks. I'm, of course, based in Dallas with you. And we're going to have a lot of fun watching to see how these last few games trickle out and where the Mavs ultimately land.
Hey, never underestimate a Rick Carlisle team. You never know how far they're going to go. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch. Thank you, Bill.
Hey, you bet. Anytime.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompleteProductionServices.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
The good times continue to roll this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. So delighted to be alongside Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We have got a lot of things to get into and talk about in college football. Also, 2 weeks from today, we have got the NFL Draft. And Jason, but I understand you've been traveling around the country doing some speaking. Did you make it back from your trip okay?
I did. I had a nice little trip out to Reno, Nevada. But I can certainly say that Reno, although they claim they're the biggest little city in America, it's definitely not Vegas.
Well, I hope you were a good boy. You didn't do any gambling when you were out there.
Absolutely. Well, those days are long gone. I'm now on Skype with the kids at night.
Excellent.
And wife. I mean, it's a whole different chase.
I love hearing that. Well, one guy that does need to get it together, my goodness gracious, Bobby Petrino just joins the list of, you know, another sports great, his downfall. And I don't want to get into all the X's and O's and all that about all the, you know, the dirty things that had happened. But I understand that this kind of ties into Nebraska, that Bo Pelini he's come up on the radar that he could go to Arkansas and replace or fill that position. Is this true?
Well, that's what we've heard up here in Lincoln. He's come out and said it's ludicrous, and that there's been no contact. If anything, it's just coming from Arkansas side of it. But his name has been mentioned in the past for a lot of other jobs as well. I mean, every time there's the talk of Les Miles going to Michigan, who's going to fill the LSU head spot? Bo's name comes up. Before Michigan hired Brady Hoke, it was Bo was going to Michigan. Before Miami hired Al Golden, it was Bo going to Miami. So either he's got a lot of people that are really taken by his coaching, or he's got a great agent. You know, the guy who usually his name is always thrown into every job that comes up is Kirk Ferentz. And to me, I always scratch my head wondering, geez, you know, it's not like he's winning championships, but I think you have a certain group of coaches. You have the A group that consists of the guys like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, guys that are winning championships, and then you have this B group. And I think lots of times, you know, those guys, their names get thrown into other jobs because that school thinks that their job is better than the job where that coach is currently at. And, you know, Bo came out and said, this is Nebraska's a destination job. And I hope he believes it. I certainly do. But, yeah, he's now being mentioned along for that Arkansas job. But what a mess Bobby Petrino has gotten himself in. And I completely agree with him being fired. I really do. I don't agree with, I guess, what they're saying, the reasons for him being fired. And it has to, I guess, go with the way that he hired the girl. And there was 158 other applicants. And to me, it bothers me, but it doesn't bother me because this is our world, right? I mean, it's never about the most qualified applicant. It's about who you know.
Right.
I mean, when Bo Pelini took this job, he hired his brother and gave him a $400,000 paycheck to be the defensive coordinator. Were there other guys that were more qualified? Absolutely. The guy that now is the defensive coordinator at Nebraska, John Papuchis. I mean, he's been coaching for 4 or 5 years. He coached the defensive ends up here at Nebraska, and it's not like the defensive ends, he's been putting first rounder after first rounder into the draft. I mean, they've been average at best. I just, you know, were there more qualified guys? Absolutely. It comes down to who you know, like everything else in life. I mean, it's a lot about who you know, and this is a case of that. I mean, you know, she's alumni, was a volleyball player there. I mean, you got to imagine that gives her a little bit of insight. She's attractive. I think everybody is pretty upfront and honest about that, saying that attractive people have an easier time getting hired. So I'm not as, I guess, up in arms as a lot of other people about it. I think, if anything, it's more about the morality of it. I mean, here's a married guy with 4 kids, and yeah, you never know what's going on at behind someone's doors at home, but I think just from a public perception, I think that's the reason he's got to be fired.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. This will be very short today. We've had a full slate and schedule so far. I am curious, because we are running out of time, Jay, who do you think will fill that slot at Arkansas? Because that is a great position.
I think at this point, they have to hire from within. I mean, you're not going to get somebody to come in at this point, right, with the season just months away to take over that job. I mean,
what about Tommy Bowden?
Tommy Bowden. I mean, I'm sure if they – I'm not sure a coach would want to come in there at this point. I mean, you're really – even though it's a good situation, in Arkansas they're talking about this is the year that they're going to make a run, or we're going to make a run at a national championship, you bring in a new coach, he's going to want to bring in his assistants. I mean, he's not going to want to come into a situation where, especially Petrino, where his brother is, what, the offensive coordinator there, I think, where he's going to come in and then be the head coach among all these other guys where their leader had just gotten fired. So he'll want to bring in his, his staff. He'll want to bring in his offense, his defense. And I think the best thing in the short term is just to hire from within. And if things don't go well this year, you just have a coaching search at the end of next year.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We were hoping to have enough time to talk about the upcoming NFL draft. We will make a divine appointment to do that next week. And as I understand, they got a couple of good guys out of Nebraska that could go very high in the draft. So we'll talk about that, Jason. We certainly appreciate your time. Glad you're home back safe with the family.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.